Please, for our first reading to Psalm 77. Psalm 77, verse 1, hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. To the chief musician, to Jeduthun, a psalm of Asaph. I cried unto God with my voice, even unto God with my voice, and he gave ear unto me. In the day of my trouble I sought the Lord. My sore ran in the night and ceased not. My soul refused to be comforted. I remembered God and was troubled. I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. Selah. Thou holdest mine eyes waking. I am so troubled that I cannot speak. I have considered the days of old, the years of ancient times. I call to remembrance my song in the night. I commune with mine own heart, and my spirit made diligent search. Will the Lord cast off forever? And will he be favorable no more? Is his mercy clean gone forever? Doth his promise fail forevermore? Hath God forgotten to be gracious? Hath he in his anger shut up his tender mercies? Selah. And I said, this is my infirmity, but I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old. I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of thy doings. Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? Thou art the God that dost wonders. Thou hast declared thy strength among the people. Thou hast with thine arm redeemed thy people, the sons of Jacob and Joseph. Selah. The waters saw thee, O God. The waters saw thee. They were afraid. The depths also were troubled. The clouds poured out water. The skies sent out a sound. Thine arrows also went abroad. The voice of thy thunder was in the heaven. The lightnings lightened the world. The earth trembled and shook. Thy way is in the sea, and thy path in the great waters, and thy footsteps are not known. Thou leddest thy people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. So in the psalm title of Psalm 77, we have reference to two names and to a title, to the chief musician, Lamnaseach in the Hebrew, and it simply means exactly as it's translated there, to the chief musician. Some have some Bible translations, I believe, have to the choir master. Sometimes you'll see that. It's that word that has to do with that Levitical choir that David raised up in his day. Let's remember that for a moment. Let's remember that when Moses first was instructed by God to set up the worship of God and to ordain a particular class of men by their family line, the Levites, to minister in and around the holy things. Remember, the sons of Aaron, they were closer in to the center of the holy things in their ministry. And then the Levites were around them. And they, it was up to the Aaronites to pack up the Ark of the Covenant and all of the holy vessels. And then it was up to the Levites to carry them with the poles and the rings and all of that stuff. Well, there was a day when the Ark of the Covenant came to rest in Jerusalem. And when that day came, under the hand of David, the Lord said, the Levites are no longer going to carry the artifacts around from place to place. The Ark is no longer moving from place to place, so the Levites are not going to carry that. They're going to carry something else. They're going to carry the tune. They're going to carry the music of the people of God in the worship service. And so there were two bodies that David formed by the command of God. He formed a Levitical orchestra and a Levitical choir. Both of those. The Lord gave him instructions not only for the numbers of men, the class of men, the instruments themselves, and the songs themselves. The Lord gave all of that to David. And then there were others after David that also wrote inspired psalmody to be included with that body of song. And we have that today in our 150 psalms in the Psalter. So when we hear Lamnatseach to the chief musician, to the choir master, he's not just a choir master. He's also over the orchestra as well. Okay, so that's what that title means. And then notice we have a man named Jeduthun. Jeduthun was indeed the choir master, the band leader, if you will, under David. He was a man, and we can read about his work in 1 Chronicles 16 and 1 Chronicles 25. And so we hear also about Asaph, this next name, and we heard, it was either last week or 2 weeks ago, when we started this Asaphic course of Psalms, what we heard then was that it's the title of a man, it's the name of a man, but also the name of his progeny after him that did the same things. And the same thing is true with Jeduthun. We'll find through a close reading of 1 Chronicles that Jeduthun was the chief musician, but the sons of Jeduthun also did that work after, you know, he went the way of all the earth. So that's what the title tells us then, to the chief musician, to Jeduthun, a psalm of Asaph. All right, so what's the psalm about? Well, you know, it's an interesting psalm in that we have some division among scholars talking about what the date of the writing, what the occasion of writing is. It's obvious that there is some great difficulty that the psalmist is under. Whether that difficulty is a national difficulty or a personal difficulty is where the scholars part ways. In either case, however, for us to make use of it, we simply must recognize that we as a fallen and weak people, a people that are what Paul describes even after his regeneration as fleshy in Romans chapter 7, that we're going to find ourselves weak, sinful. We're going to find ourselves under affliction and difficulty. That is indeed the lot of man. Even unbelievers recognize that something's not right with us as a race. And so this difficulty, this affliction, is very intense for the psalmist here. Now notice what he does. Where does he go with that difficulty? Well, he goes straight to the Lord. I cried unto God with my voice, even unto God with my voice, and he gave ear unto me. In the day of my trouble I sought the Lord. My sore ran in the night. Notice that the word for sore there, you should have a footnote in your Bibles. My hand ran in the night. It's not that he has an affliction that continues to bother him in the night. It is that the stretching forth of his hand to God continues into the night. That's what he's saying. Day and night. His trouble, now I don't know, maybe you're like me. Sometimes we can be troubled in such a way that we'll actually take a few moments out of the day to sit down, 15, 20 minutes, and we'll sit down and we'll pray and we'll ask God, please, Lord, deal with this trouble. This is too hard. I don't know what I'm... And then we'll get back to our duties, you know. Well, what do we hear the psalmist saying? The kind of affliction that he's under is something that causes him to cry out day and night to the Lord. Well, in the human condition, then, let's admit that this is an intense difficulty, a problem, a real problem. This is a great affliction, such that he's stretching forth his hand day and night. Have you ever been there? Have you ever had some trouble that was so steep, so difficult, so afflicting, that in the night you couldn't sleep? Your eyes were kept from sleep, such that you found yourself thinking, meditating, and praying about this even well into the night. This is the kind of condition in which the psalmist finds himself here. Okay? It's a very human thing. It's a very human condition. Thou holdest mine eyes waking. I am so troubled that I cannot speak. Notice in verse 3, he says, I remembered God and was troubled. Isn't that interesting? Sometimes upon the remembrance of God and His holiness, it may be for His own sins or for the sins of the nation that this trouble has come in. Sometimes the presence of God is not as comforting as it ought to be to us because we have given ourselves over to some sin, some deficiency. We've not confessed and forsaken it. Perhaps we've gone on knowingly in it. And so sometimes the presence of the Lord is not as comforting as it would otherwise be to us. Let's admit that this is who we are. All right, so then in verse 6, he begins to turn. He says, I call to remembrance my song in the night. I commune with my own heart, and my spirit made diligent search. What kind of search do you think his spirit is making here? What do you think he's talking about? Well, it seems to me that he's searching his own heart, that he's looking for those sins and deficiencies and weaknesses and perhaps even overt thoughts or actions of rebellion against the Lord. He has started to search out the ultimate cause of his affliction. The Lord has in his faithfulness, like we heard last week, it is the goodness of God leading him to repentance. Then we have a series of rhetorical questions. It's an interesting turn in the psalm, isn't it? Because at this point now, the psalmist is starting to turn. And he's okay, I made diligent search, and then come flooding in all of these rhetorical questions. And children, you know what a rhetorical question is, right? It's a question that carries with it its own answer. To ask it is to answer it. And in every particular question here, the answer should come back ringing in our own minds, no! These are indeed, upon his turning, we might even consider these to be the temptation and assaults of his enemy, of the enemy of our souls at this point, right? So we are at a point in this psalm here where we have conjectured, and it is something of a conjecture, that it is for his own sin that the psalmist is afflicted, that it is for his own sin that perhaps it's a national affliction. And so notice, then he says, but I'll begin to examine myself. I'll start hunkering down into my own heart. And it is at that moment that all of these rhetorical questions come flooding in that we might consider the assault of the enemy. Listen to them. Let's just hear them one by one by one. He says, will the Lord cast off forever? Will he be favorable no more? Is his mercy clean gone forever? Has his promise failed? Has God forgotten to be gracious? Has he, in his anger, shut up his tender mercies? Doesn't that sound like, hath God said? And so what does the psalmist say? What is his resolution after asking those rhetorical questions? The answer to each of which is absolutely not. This is my infirmity. It's my infirmity. The Lord has not brought these things on me in the sense that he was keeping me down or crushing me under his thumb. This comes to me because of my infirmity. I even ask these questions because it's my infirmity. Instead, I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will not continue to allow the enemy of my soul to pepper me with his faithless questions. I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. I'll remember the strength of God. And so then, in verse 11, the psalm turns, or 10. The psalm turns, and the psalmist then begins, if you can think of it as waves on a sea. He's been heading down into the trough of the wave. Now he's heading back up the other side. And so notice what he says. I will remember the works of the Lord, surely I will remember thy wonders of old. I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of thy doings. What is the remedy that the psalmist comforts himself with? It is indeed remembering and meditating upon the grace and mercy of God in the wonders, the miraculous works that he has done. Verse 13. Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? Well, if this is indeed Jeduthun and Asaph speaking, We have a sanctuary standing. We have a place where God has chosen to reveal His name, to reveal Himself to His people. And so that is where His way is proclaimed. And so, again, we have, as we had in Psalm 73, this turning. But it is not a turning in simply the closet of the worshiper. It is a turning also remembering the public worship by the worshiper. Both are true. I will meditate on thy work, and I will talk of thy doings. Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. All right, so then in verses 14 through the end of the chapter, we have one of those instances that the psalmist recalls. And he chooses probably the greatest instance of deliverance in the Old Testament. It is used as an example and even as a type of regeneration throughout the rest of the Bible, right? Exodus chapters 10 through 15. We have the exodus of God's people out of the hand of Egypt. And that is indeed spoken of in Scripture as a type of what it means to be recalled or released out of the house of the bondage of sin and Satan, out of what it means to be in bondage to him. And so that's what he recalls. That's the one he calls to mind. And this is what he meditates upon. So thou art a God that dost wonders, hast declared thy strength among the people. Thou hast with thine arm redeemed thy people, the sons of Jacob and Joseph, Selah. The waters saw thee, O God, the waters saw thee. They were afraid. The depths were troubled. We might think that the waters would overwhelm us. Certainly they would. But the waters behave themselves, personifying them as those who are afraid. And what did they do when Moses put his staff in the end of the, in that little portion of the shore of the Red Sea? They started back like they were afraid, right? They pulled themselves back. The clouds poured out water. The sky sent out a sound. Thine arrows also went abroad. The voice of thy thunder was in the heaven. The lightnings lightened the world. The earth trembled and shook. Notice it said, thy way is in the sanctuary before. Now it says, thy way is in the sea. Thy way is in the sea. How is thy way in the sea? Thy path in the great waters, and thy footsteps are not known. Thou leddest thy people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. And who would have thought? Who would have thought that that way would be through the waters? Right? How would the psalmist think here? How would Jeduthun think, or Asaph think? How would he think when he is shut up such that he cannot sleep at night? Shut up to some affliction or trouble. How could that be the way of God? And yet it was. It was the way of God. The people of God believed that they were shut up against the Red Sea. And then the waters were afraid and they drew back at the presence of God. And that way was in the sea. And so the psalmist reminds us then at the end that often the ways of God for us are through affliction. Not apart from affliction. Not around the Red Sea. It's not the way that we would choose. But it is the way that God chooses for us. Thus ends the reading then of Psalm 77. Let's